The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to you? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, and your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Sorrow lasts a little while, joy lasts forever. But of course, while you're in suffering, sorrow sure doesn't feel like just a little while. Quite frankly, suffering can make your life feel like a living hell. But our perspective keeps us from seeing the truth. Our earthly perspective on our pain often makes us turn inward towards ourselves and our sufferings. We tend to focus on our feelings and our emotions, and the solutions to our sufferings lead us to ask questions like, "Well, how am I going to get out of this veil of tears? How can I turn my suffering into joy? What makes me happy?" Well, I'll just go find what that is and go do it. But when we turn inward to lift ourselves out of our suffering, it generally only increases our pain. Jesus would have us look outside ourselves, outside our problems, outside our pain, and outside our sin, and look at him. He would have us frame our questions about our sufferings towards a theocentric or God-centered solution. He would have us understand our pain by asking questions like, "Well, even though I'm in immense pain, where can I find God's care for me, despite my suffering? How do I live my life to please God, despite my sorrow and suffering?" God provides the only true joy we can have. Only when we're with Christ, our earthly sorrows will be transformed into eternal joys. Only in Christ do we truly begin to understand our sufferings. Jesus taught that to the disciples in the gospel lesson. The disciples were confused about where Jesus claimed he was going. They didn't understand why Jesus will, in a little while, be gone from them, yet return in another little while. They didn't understand how their sorrowing hearts will be turned into joy-filled hearts. In a nutshell, they didn't understand anything Jesus was saying. Certainly there are ways we hardly understand what Jesus says either, but nonetheless, our post-crucifixion and resurrection perspective allows us to know what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about how he'll die on the cross, which will make the disciples fearful and sorrowful. Certainly, Jesus' crucifixion and absence from their lives because he was buried in the tomb did this to them, made them fearful and sorrowful. The Gospels mention that Peter denied Jesus 3 times because he feared that he would be crucified along with Jesus. He ran away weeping and in distress. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver to only realize later he betrayed innocent blood. Out of remorse, he left and hanged himself. John was the only disciple mentioned at the foot of the cross. The rest? What about the rest of the disciples? The rest of the disciples are most likely hiding out in the upper room for fear of being executed along with Jesus in sorrow that they just lost their Messiah. Those disciples were filled with sorrow, and fear, and cowardice, and they head away. Only Jesus, who was raised from the dead, can turn that sort of sorrow into joy. This joy turned a cowardly people like the disciples into missionaries and ambassadors for the risen Lord. Christ gave them the Holy Spirit to testify to the truth. That humanity's sorrows reach their end in Jesus' death, and eternal joy comes with the resurrection of Jesus. This good news of God turning earthly sorrow into eternal joy traveled far and wide. Now all flesh is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. All flesh suffers and sorrows. All flesh sins. All flesh dies. All flesh falls short of the glory of God. But even though our flesh suffers, we shouldn't discount our fleshly life. We shouldn't view our flesh as our enemy, even though it desires sin and is weak against Satan's temptations. I often hear people say, either outrightly or they allude to it, that God only cares about our spiritual dispositions and not so much earthly matters. That all God cares about is that you believe in Him, and the matters of the flesh are insignificant. That our bodies are prisons for our souls. But this couldn't be further from the truth. This line of thinking comes from a misunderstanding of the relationship between heaven and earth. Peter, in his epistle, identifies us as sojourners and foreigners on this earth. Christians don't call anywhere earthly their true home, because heaven is the true home for every Christian. We may speak of our houses being our homes or wherever we live with family, but what Peter says is still true for Christians. We're sojourners on this earth. This earth in its present state is not our home. But not because our true ideal state as humans is a bodiless existence in the heavens. It's not because the earth is bad and the material world is bad. Some speculate as such, and you may hear it at funerals when someone says about the deceased person, that body in the casket isn't John Smith anymore. John Smith is in heaven. He's home. True, heaven is our home because God is there. But that body is still a part of John Smith. God created us to have a bodily existence, just like for Adam and Eve. The separation of our soul and body is not the final resting place for Christians. Our bodies are still a part of us even after our death. A part of us, our soul, is in heaven. A part of us, our body, is laid in the dust of the earth. That's why we mourn at funerals, because that truth can't escape us. We know something goes terribly wrong at death. Something isn't quite right. And what's wrong at death is the same thing with what goes wrong in life, causing sorrows and pain and sufferings. That thing is sin. And Satan who tempts us to sin. Sin causes relationships with God and each other to splinter. Dishonoring authority, lying, cheating, stealing, gossip, adultery, coveting. It all directly affects our relationships with one another. We're stained by our sin, and we suffer the sins of others in this fleshly life. But Christian faith fixates not on our own sin, and how we lift ourselves up out of it, nor does it fixate on the sins of others. Faith fixates on the eternal hope and joy we have in Christ, because in Christ, sorrow turns into joy. The resurrection of Jesus turns sorrow into joy. Jesus' resurrection certainly turned the disciples' sorrow into joy on Easter. The joy they gained from seeing their risen Savior lasted them until their dying breath. So will it be with us too. Because even though bodily death consumes Christians, there will be bodily life. Not because we've been able to navigate successfully through the pain and sorrows of our earthly life, but only through Jesus' own resurrection from the dead, can we start to give our pain and suffering perspective. In Christ, we start to see our sorrows as temporary and our joys as eternal. Because through Christ's victory over the grave and forgiveness of sins given, our sorrows are swallowed up in the eternal joys of salvation. Even though our perspective on earth is limited, we're given the promise of what's to come. Upon death, our soul will be at rest with Christ. Upon judgment day and the resurrection of the dead, our life of sojourning will end. Our bodies will be reunited to our souls, and we'll live in the eternal joy of the new heavens and the new earth. We'll live as God's restored creatures in his restored creation. It's this eternal promise from the cross and grave which gives us joy now, despite the sorrows we endure now. So take heart, for Christ has overcome the world, which includes your suffering, your sorrows, and your pain. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.